Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
This is the third week that I'm going to talk about the four great vows. The first one is, creations are numberless, and I vow to free them. Let's free them from suffering, free ourselves from suffering. The second one is, delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. And the one that I'm going to talk about today is, dharmas are boundless, and I vow to embody them. Now, I've mentioned this before, but it's important to remember that these vows are a commitment that we are making to live an enlightened life. And at the same time, they're also, how do we best serve others? If we commit ourselves to these vows and we keep working with them, we will go deeper and deeper and be better servants to each other. The other thing is, this commitment is imperfect. You know, make this commitment and we fail over and over again, but we get up and we keep trying because we've made this commitment to live the enlightened life and have compassion for others. So I'm going to say a few words about the word dharma, which gets used a lot in our practice. And there's two basic ways to understand what dharma means. And the first one is probably the most familiar. Dharma is a word that we use for the teachings of Buddha. And these teachings have been passed down for centuries, from Buddha on down. And they've been passed down by a variety of Buddhist teachers from a variety of practices and a variety of cultures. So that's the typical way we think of dharma. The dharma is a teaching. Well, there's another way to look at it, another way to talk about it, which really implies teaching. It implies learning. And this way of understanding the dharma is dharmas are the myriad of ways that life presents itself. These are the forms that are arising from emptiness. And there are so many arising and falling moment after moment. They're boundless. They can't be contained and they can't be counted. And the dharmas, these dharmas that present themselves, we refer to as dharma gates. And we are called upon to recognize that everything that appears comes to us as a gateway to the truth. So when we enter this gate, we are seeking the truth. We are seeking the oneness of life. So our work, our commitment, our vow is to enter each gate and embody the truth that we discover there. So each moment that dharma or dharmas are presenting themselves to us, so we make a vow not only to perceive and pass through the gate to sentient beings, but also to things. Things can also that present an opportunity, things that we encounter in our life. Come home after a hard day's work and the door doesn't open. We forgot our keys. That's a dharma presenting itself. It's also a door, no play on words intended. Just some brief examples of dharma gates. First can be emotions. Anger, fear, hope, joy, happiness, sadness, etc. Another set of dharma gates can be the interaction that we have with people that are close to us on a daily basis. Partners, siblings, children, parents, neighbors, friends. We also present a dharma gate to ourselves. And the dharma gate occurs when we are stuck in some way. Another set of examples is old age and death. The postman, the policewoman, the doctor, the crossing guard, the used car salesman, and on and on and on. I mean, dharmas are constantly presenting themselves, many times in multiple ways at the same time. And our work is to do our best to pass through the gate and work with that because it's a teacher. It's something there that we need to learn. So I'm going to give also a few examples of some of the practical everyday ways that dharma gates present themselves and open. The first is an example. A person visits their mother who is dying from cancer. Her mother is dying with such equanimity and grace that the person's heart cracks open. The person has entered the Dharma gate of love and loss. You know, what, other than a child, what's more difficult than to lose a parent that you're close with, right? And I think most people will say, I don't want to pass through that Dharma gate. That's way too painful, way too overwhelming. But sometimes if we pass through that gate and we really open ourselves to it, it can help us crack open, open our hearts, open the heart of compassion. So that would be an example of a Dharma gate, not an easy one to pass through. And sometimes we encounter these Dharma gates and we decide to turn around and walk away because we've told ourselves what lies beyond this gate is beyond our ability. Another Dharma gate is a person enters and embraces the Dharma gate of life and death. She accepts the truth of being born, the truth that we must die, and she lets go of her attachment to self, and as a result, she is at peace with the coming and going of the nature of life. So these are profound Dharma gates that I'm giving examples of, but there are also simple everyday ones that appear as well. But again, it's possible to enter this Dharma gate, which has to do with life and death. And if we work with it, we can get to the place where life and death just becomes a fact of life. It's not any big deal. It's just the way things are. And we learn to live in harmony with that fact. Now, this is a true story, not something that I made up for examples. A friend of mine, CJ, lives in Boston, and a few years ago they had this tremendous snowstorm. I think they had like 2 or 3 feet of snow. And in Boston, and particularly some of these out-of-city neighborhoods, the houses are very close together, and there are many people that are crammed into these neighborhoods, and everybody parks their car on the street. Very few people have garages. So this 3-foot snowstorm arrives, and it snows everybody in, and it snows the cars in. And so people start digging their cars out, and what happens is the snowplow comes, and the cars get captured again by the snow. And so CJ had this neighbor who was out there. He spent 2 or 3 hours digging his car out. And so finally, he had snow piled higher than himself, but the car was free to get out. So he'd moved his car out, and he had brought out a chair, a kitchen chair, that he placed in the empty spot. So he was sort of claiming it because it was in front of his house. So he goes to work, and after a long day at work, he drives down the street, and there lying on top of a snow pile is the kitchen chair, and there's another car parked in the spot. So here's the Dharma gate of anger and retribution. That son of a bitch. You know, and so it unfolds. But it's an opportunity also to look at ourselves and how do we respond to difficult situations. The other day I saw this young boy, and he was in the front yard, and he was playing with this puppy, and they were rolling around on the ground, and he was having such a good time. And he had entered, I believe, the Dharma gate of love and joy. You know, he was just in that moment, fully consumed with rolling around and playing with this dog, so joyful, so delighted. So there are many ways that we can engage dharmas, right? We don't all do it the same way. There's no little sign that comes with the Dharma gate to tell us how to enter and what to do with it. It really requires us to be pretty creative. So I'm going to read a poem by Mary Oliver, which I think is another beautiful example of how to engage a Dharma gate. And in this case, the Dharma gate is presented as a black bear. Somewhere a black bear has just risen from sleep and is staring down the mountain all night in the brisk and shallow restlessness of early spring. I think of her, her 4 black fists flicking the gravel, her tongue like a red fire, touching the grass, the cold water. There's only one question. There's the Dharma gate. How to love this world. I think of her rising like a black and leafy ledge to sharpen her claws against the silence of the trees. Whatever else my life is, with its poems and its music and its glass cities, it is also this dazzling darkness coming down the mountain, breathing and tasting all day I think of her. Her white teeth, her wordlessness, her perfect love. So that's a beautiful way to enter the Dharma Gate, presented by the Black Bear. So as I said earlier, not just encounters with sentient beings, but it's also things, you know, like a traffic jam. You're anxious to get to work, and there's a damn traffic jam. You know, I think for most of us, we start to get anxious, you can feel your body get tensed, start to get angry, impatient, start peeking around the traffic to see what the holdup is. So the question arises, okay, there's a Dharma Gate. Is that the most effective way to deal with what's presented? Now, one of the ways that we prepare ourselves for these Dharma Gates when they appear, the Dharmas when they appear, is we sit. We practice Zazen. And this allows us, it helps us, to embody the teachings as they arrive, as we step through these gates. And what we discover in the end is, these Dharma Gates are us. They're not separate from us. They are us. They are ourselves, and they are our lives. And the process of embodiment is how we realize this oneness of our lives. Thanks.